This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Governor J.B. Pritzker says college campuses like Bradley University that require self-isolation and campus-wide quarantines are doing a good thing to limit the spread of the virus.
It's less ideal to send students home who test positive. Sending them home has the potential to add to the numbers of people who contract COVID-19.
Hear more about Pritzker's visit to Bloomington Normal today. Plus, it takes a lot to keep faculty and student tech up and running during online learning. Hear from one of the squad members who does that at Illinois State University. Against some odds, colleges and universities in Bloomington Normal now feel pretty good about fall enrollment numbers. A woman is campaigning for better traffic safety measures at an east side Bloomington Normal intersection, and Mayor Chris Coos of Normal drops by. All that and a news update on the way. This is Sound Ideas on WGLT.
Support for the Sound Ideas podcast comes from WGLT listeners. Join the community of informed news consumers who listen to WGLT and also support it financially. Learn more about how you can support WGLT's nonprofit public service mission at WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Let's run down some of the day's top stories. The McLean County Health Department logged 36 new confirmed COVID-19 cases today. That's more than the previous day, but still the second lowest single-day total in the last 3 weeks. A slowdown in holiday weekend testing has likely created a lag in new confirmed cases. Illinois State University's on-campus testing sites for asymptomatic students were closed for 4 days straight in observance of Labor Day, and the testing site at the Interstate Center also closed Monday. The number of hospitalized patients held steady at 8, with 2 in intensive care. McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder says a motorcyclist died following a crash Tuesday night in West Bloomington. The coroner's office received notification shortly after 11:30 of a death along southbound Rivian Motorway just south of College Avenue. 23-year-old Kyle Casey of Normal was a motorcyclist who drove into the back of a van. Illinois Supreme Court Justice Thomas Kilbride is running for retention and another 10 years on the court. Kilbride is the justice representing most of north central Illinois, including McLean and Tazewell counties. He must get at least 60% of the vote to keep his seat.
Whether you're the carpenter, the CEO, the banker, or the bricklayer, you're entitled to a fair shot in our court system. And we need balance, and everybody gets a shot at a level playing field to make sure that everyone's voice is heard.
Republicans have launched a campaign against Kilbride, who's ruled against pension restructuring, redistricting reforms, and term limits. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM, WGLT, and WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Less than a week after the town of Normal banned large gatherings in and around the Illinois State University campus to try to limit the spread of COVID-19, some students seem determined to test the town and university resolve. More from Eric Stock.
Illinois State University President Larry Dietz says he's disappointed in the students who were at a large outdoor party in the middle of a pandemic, and the university will consider suspending students who attended.
We're investigating that. If individuals are identified out of that gathering, we have a student conduct code that will be applied. The mayor and I are talking about other potential sanctions that the town of Normal might issue as well.
Police at Normal dispersed a crowd of about 70 students who gathered for a party at an off-campus apartment complex that involved a group of YouTube pranksters called the Nelk Boys.
And the Nelk Production Company has a reputation for prank videos, but it was no joking matter last night when residents invited them to the town.
Dietz says disciplinary action against the students could include suspension or temporary removal from campus.
Interim suspensions are possible. Suspensions are possible. Interruptions in the students' plan to be here are all possible. And so we take this very, very seriously.
Police in Normal confirmed large gatherings at 3 locations last night. Dietz says he's talking with the town of Normal officials about additional penalties against students. The town recently passed a ban on large gatherings near campus following a surge in COVID-19 cases tied largely to the campus population. It calls for fines of up to $750. Governor J.B. Pritzker commended the town for putting in the restrictions, but says it'll take personal responsibility to keep the coronavirus virus under control.
Enforcement has always been a challenge because we don't want to, you know, cite people. We certainly don't want to arrest people who aren't wearing a mask or who aren't following the provisions of our mask mandate or gathering mandates. But at the same time, we need to make sure that the message gets across to people.
Pritzker acknowledges the coronavirus has been a problem on many college campuses. He says students who test positive or need to quarantine should stay on campus to limit the spread.
It's less ideal to send students home who test positive. That is that they should quarantine in place. Sending them home has the potential to add to the numbers of people who contract COVID-19.
Pritzker commends Bradley University's two-week campus quarantine. The governor says testing and contact tracing remain the best ways to contain the spread. He notes Illinois is the third highest testing state in the country at nearly 50,000 tests per day. Contact tracing remains a challenge in McLean County. The county health department has said it's overwhelmed with the cases, and it may take several days before a contact tracer will call someone who tests positive. The county has only filled about half of 40 additional contact tracing jobs. Pritzker says McLean County has done a good job hiring, while the state's role is to come up with the funding, which it did.
The Illinois Department of Public Health does not dictate to county departments of public health how they should do something and what exactly they should do. There is a partnership, and it's a good partnership. But it is up to the county departments to make the decisions about how quickly, et cetera, they're able to hire.
Pritzker says the state is working on a distribution plan for a vaccine, though there's no clear idea when one will be ready. The governor says the state would distribute the vaccine based on availability and priority.
We want to make sure that the people who are most vulnerable are reached first, people who are most at risk because of the jobs that they have, our frontline workers, our nurses, our doctors, et cetera. We want to make sure that they are covered.
The governor says claims a vaccine will be ready in November come from someone running for re-election, an apparent reference to President Trump. I'm Eric Stock.
Governor J.B. Pritzker visited the ISU campus to promote census outreach 3 weeks before the election. The town of Normal ranked below the state average with 66% participation. Bloomington and McLean County are higher than the state average of 70%. The Normal Town Council is considering a gas tax increase and changes to the public comment policy. Joining us to talk about those and other issues is Mayor Chris Koos, who comes to Sound Ideas the day after most council meetings. Canadian YouTubers the Nelk Boys appeared in Normal last night at an apartment complex and drew a big crowd that police had to ask to disperse. And Mayor Koos says the incident is not done.
We were going to do some investigations, our police and ISU, to see if we can identify who instigated this, and there may be repercussions for the people that organized this. Well, we're pretty sure the Canadian YouTubers have long left the area. We're also considering ordinance violation on them.
Councilmember Stan Nord, on his Facebook page, questioned the ordinances against mass gatherings, saying all you have to do is call it a protest and you're good to go. Is he right?
According to our legal department, no, he is not right on that. And I spoke to him at the meeting last night. I'm very disappointed that it was a very strong 6-1 vote to pass this ordinance. He, of course, was the no vote and has decided that it was his job as a council member to try and find a workaround or a way to subvert that ordinance. It just shows that he has no interest in being unified with his fellow council members on any issue.
Certainly, he's okay taking his own position that enforcement isn't the way to go. Does it require unanimity?
To this point, no one has been given an ordinance violation. And it's always been our intent that if the police come upon an event like that, that they will ask the people to disperse, and because they are in violation of an ordinance. And at this point, everyone has complied, including the groups last night.
If Councilmember Nord has a different view of what should be happening during the pandemic, isn't he entitled to that?
I think personally he's certainly entitled to have that opinion, but to work against his own council on something that is now law in the town of Normal I don't feel is appropriate for him at all. Well, he can continue to talk about it, but he shouldn't try to encourage people to break the ordinance.
During the council work session before the meeting, you heard presentations on a potential 4-cent increase in the motor fuel tax for the town from 4 cents to 8 cents. That would produce another $1 million on top of the million that the town already typically gets, according to City Finance Director Andrew Hune. What would you use that extra money for in the next budget year?
Primarily transportation infrastructure. It could go for further road improvement, sidewalks, bridges. It could go for trail extensions. It could go for ADA compliance at crosswalks. It could go to Connect Transit, which would allow them to get more state dollars. So it could go to a lot of things like that. And it's kind of our intention that it would go to transportation-related expenses.
How much of an unmet need is transportation-related expenses in the town?
Well, we always have more than we can do. And that's just the nature of government. There's always more work that can get done in a 3-5 year period of time.
Are there optics at issue doing this potentially during a recession?
I would say yes. People are generally are unfavorable to new taxes, but this is a very unusual one because this is the second time this has happened that Bloomington has passed a gas tax, and we have lagged on a timeline for us to do it. And so currently, Bloomington's tax is 8 cents a gallon. Ours is 4 cents a gallon. And for the most part, and for most times, we've checked this over a 9-month period. Gas is cheaper in Bloomington than it is in Normal. And this is just the nature of the market. This is a commodity product. The prices fluctuate almost daily. I think most people are aware of that. But we're leaving money on the table. If a normal resident buys a tank full of gas in Bloomington, they're helping Bloomington to improve their road system. They're buying gas in Normal. They're also helping Normal improve their road system, but at a significantly lower level.
You're also thinking of changing the way public comment happens at council meetings. What's the rationale for changing general comment to the end of the meeting and keeping agenda-specific item comment at the start of the meeting?
You know, we've had a lot of requests to loosen up our public comment and requests from council members to do that. And we felt like because a council meeting is a business meeting, that we would take comment that had to do with the business we were dealing with that night first, and then general comment at the end of the meeting. So people can talk about what they want about the town of Normal that may not be on the agenda. It gives them that opportunity to do that.
Is a business meeting the appropriate place for general comments? You and other council members have resisted that in the past. Is that?
Well, I think I'm the minority on that. I don't think it is, but a lot of people do. So we're responding to what we see a large number of people are requesting.
All right, Mayor Chris Coos, thank you for joining us.
Always glad to be here.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us the day after most council meetings. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Still to come, keeping the tech up and running in an online learning environment. Four-year colleges and universities in Illinois are starting to breathe sighs of relief at their enrollment numbers. Most had grave concerns all through the spring and summer about what the pandemic would do to fall enrollment. With a couple caveats, it's not that bad. Administrators worried a lot about enrollment. Would kids take a gap year because they didn't want to take online classes? Would they go to community colleges because they didn't want to pay four-year college prices for virtual instruction? The answers appear to be no or not much to some of those. Illinois State University enrollment held fast this fall. Total enrollment is down less than 1%. Enrollment management head Jana Albrecht says the pandemic enhanced traditional trends.
There was probably more of an emphasis on finances and families not necessarily knowing what was going to happen with their own jobs, which translated, we believe, into more students going to community colleges, about 200 for us.
Illinois Wesleyan University also bucked the national trend of falling enrollment, at least for this year. Admissions Dean Greg King says a much larger freshman class helped keep overall enrollment the same as last year.
You know, I think we did a great job in March taking as many components from our in-person campus visit to the virtual world. Our faculty did an amazing job of connecting with all of our admits. Virtually.
The Illinois Wesleyan freshman class is 9% higher than last year. IWU saw increases in out-of-state students because virtual campus tours made it easier to visit. Community college transfers and students from nearby high schools also grew. Illinois State's Jana Albrecht says ISU also saw a jump in students staying in Bloomington Normal for college.
And so there's a security, you know, in feeling that, okay, if something goes wrong, I can get home quickly or my parents can get to me quickly. And I think that just that happens when you're in the middle of a pandemic. You want family closer.
The pandemic-related recession may also have helped ISU and IWU enrollment slightly. Albrecht says the traditional effect of a recession is an increase in enrollment.
We did see a 4% spike in our graduate students. There are people out in the community, in the workforce, that are deciding to go to graduate school. You know, what are you going to do in a gap year if there aren't additional jobs?
Even at Heartland Community College in Normal, the recession effect may have contributed to a higher-than-usual student retention rate, but community colleges in general took a hit from the pandemic. Heartland Community College Enrollment Vice President Sarah Deal Hunt says overall enrollment there dropped more than 8.5%. That is in line with many community colleges. And it reflects a troubling pandemic impact. She says it disproportionately hurt the most financially vulnerable and traditionally underrepresented.
Most concerning to me is first-generation college student enrollment for us is down 21%, and that's an audience we really serve, and we serve well.
Deal Hunt says Heartland Community College enrollment of African Americans fell by close to 30%, and overall minority enrollment was down 16%. She says the irony is that community colleges, including Heartland, targeted pandemic relief funds to help those populations with financial assistance, mentoring, and technology. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Coming up, one woman's crusade to bring better safety to an east side intersection. Online and hybrid classes continue to be a big adjustment for many students, staff, and faculty. To help, the Illinois State University College of Arts and Sciences has recruited a group of students called the Tech Consultant Squad that helps faculty with technology. ISU's senior and lead consultant Elise Ketter says the squad helps faculty with Zoom connection issues, lecture videos, and ReggieNet configuration. She says the squad is a rewarding way for the 10 members to hone their own technology skills and help faculty with theirs.
We all have kind of different strengths. There's some people that are very media focused and they work for the school's TV station, so they have a lot of background with more of the technology, setting up web cameras and stuff for professors. Personally, I am more focused on like Zoom and our ReggieNet, which is the website that all the school's information goes through. No one has the same exact skill set. We just are all kind of versed in different areas. None of us have the same majors either. We're kind of spread out on the board with that too. So it's just kind of people that, even if you didn't have a lot of background in tech or what we were doing, people who were willing to learn quickly and wanted to kind of jump in and help professors work through issues that they were having.
How have you guys been able to grow and adapt, especially with the semester starting back up?
You never really know what requests you're going to get from professors. There's a kind of a Google form that they can fill out, and they put down their request, and then it gets filtered to us, and you can see what current requests we have and grab one of those and start working on it. So it's kind of a really big variety, and you never know exactly what's going to come to you. So it's all about just adapting to what the professor's needs are and trying to work through issues that you may not have much knowledge on. So it's researching and helping them at the same time. So I really like it because it's different every day, and you're getting to learn a lot of things that you wouldn't know otherwise.
And how big is the request and the demands right now?
We're actually doing pretty well. I'd say at per usual, most of us usually are working on 2 to 3 requests at a time, but there are some requests that are also ongoing throughout the entire semester. So there may be a consultant that attends every single one of this professor's classes, and they help monitor the Zoom chat every single time. Or maybe they sit in on the class and all they do is record it on their computer, and then they help the professor upload it. There's some people that are helping with setting up tests and quizzes. It may be a professor that struggles with that and needs some help, so they send a test or a quiz to the consultant, and then they help them upload it.
Switching to online classes has been an adjustment for many people, students, staff, and faculty. And you mentioned that you guys yourselves are learning as you're also teaching. Do you have any story or anything that you would like to share?
I think the coolest part for me is that I had a professor who needed help setting up a lot of things. She never really used our ReginNet, which is the website everything goes through. She never really set up much in that. So I kind of trained myself on how to do that from a professor perspective. I helped her set up PowerPoints and just kind of things that she had never had to utilize before. So it's cool that I can go to a meeting, even if it's over Zoom. I don't even get to meet with them face-to-face, but I know that I'm impacting their teaching. And afterwards, the professor I worked with was just so thankful because she was trying to make the class the best that it could be for her students, and it was really rewarding to know that I was helping her do that.
Elise Ketter is the lead consultant for the College of Arts and Sciences Tech Consultant Squad. She spoke with student reporter Darnisha Mitchell. Find the full interview at WGLT.org. This is Sound Ideas on Bloomington Normal's Public Media. A Bloomington woman whose neighbor was struck in a hit and run last month is campaigning to make her neighborhood safer for pedestrians. She's circulating a petition to make changes at Tawanda Barnes and Baywood Roads. WTLT student reporter Katrina Peterson has the story.
In August, East Bloomington resident Shelby Rapp ran over to where her neighbor was hit tremendously. Her neighbor was then rushed to the hospital, but personnel were unable to save his leg.
The things I want to highlight the most is not only his injury, because that's severe, but the fact that we were able as a community to come together and find the driver very quickly. Unfortunately, the driver is a juvenile, as City of Bloomington has shared, so that makes it a little bit harder. But nonetheless, you know, I know that justice will be served as much as possible for my neighbor.
Rep has gained nearly 1,000 signatures for a petition to find safety solutions for this intersection. Rep went to the Bloomington City Council, the Public Works Department, and McLean County Highway Department with her solutions.
All of us are kind of rallying together, trying to come up with not only short-term solutions, but long-term solutions that are going to work. I know the main issue is that we want it to be something that isn't going to just be overlooked by motorists and people, you know, going by. We want something that's going to benefit not only pedestrians, but the rest of the community as well.
Despite Rapp's efforts, there has been backlash from others in the community.
And I've had a lot of people reach out and say, well, we don't want the speed limit changed, or we don't want this in place. And while I understand their concerns and their, you know, disagreement with it, to me, if it's going to save somebody's life, then I'm all for it, because I would want the same done for me and my family if it was us.
Currently, the Highway Department is working with the city's engineering staff and are collecting data on traffic counts, speed, and clustering counts. Assistant McLean County Engineer Luke Hohulin says that lowering speed and adding crosswalks are unlikely.
We wouldn't be able to lower the speed any more than it actually is. And doing a full-fledged speed study, it would actually probably more likely indicate that speed should be raised rather than lowered, just on the basis of what drivers feel comfortable driving.
According to the Highway Department, the county is limited by the guidelines placed by the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices. The guidelines warrant remedial action only when there is heavy or increased motor and pedestrian traffic. However, Rapp isn't giving up on her community. She's not sure what will be put in place, but she believes something will be done, even if it is just for short term. Currently, the County Highway Department has been working with Theta and have not created any solutions.
Temporary solutions, I would say, at this point, we're just doing the data collection part of it, and then if something comes that we can put out a solution, then we will definitely do that, but nothing at this point.
The department says that once they weigh their options in respect to the Illinois Department of Transportation and the MUTCD, they will be in touch with Rapp. Rapp says her community is great overall and she's glad to be a part of it, but she believes it's time to put in the work.
I couldn't be more blessed to be a part of it, but with that being said, we do have these issues of safety for not only pedestrians, but motorists alike. And I think the only way to go about this change is to advocate for something to be put in place. So no other family or any part of our community, frankly, has to endure this kind of trauma and heartache from events such as these.
Through the trauma and heartache, Rapp's neighbor continues to pray for the driver and requests the community do the same. I'm Katrina Peterson.
You can find a link to Shelley Rapp's online petition at WGLT.org. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT Normal, made possible with listener contributions at WGLT.org. Our website is also where you can find Sound Ideas interviews and stories, which today came from Eric Stock, Katrina Peterson, and Darnisha Mitchell. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Subscribe to Sound Ideas on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or NPR One. This is WGLT, Bloomington Normal's Public Media.